anniversaries. All kinds of them, aren't there? Weddings, graduations, the day you first started work, the day you retired, perhaps. I was listening on the radio yesterday, Radio 4, there was a little piece about the Antarctic Treaty. It's the 40th anniversary this week of the International Antarctic Treaty. There's going to be a big international gathering to celebrate this event in London during this coming week. Anniversaries. We have the anniversaries of our birth, don't we? We call those birthdays, but they're the same thing really. And of course, the anniversaries of those loved ones who are no longer with us in this life. Kristin and I celebrated an anniversary last weekend. It was the golden anniversary of our first date. I'd been planning it since January. I took her back to Exeter, where we then were, and took her to the same theatre and booked exactly the same seats. Oh, come on. Oh. Yes. I'd contacted the Northcote Theatre. On our first date, by the way, I took her to see Hamlet. Whoever in their right mind would take someone on their first date to Hamlet? I can't think what was going through my head at the time. But you know what they say, to be or not to be. Well, obviously it was, wasn't it? So I emailed the Northcote Theatre way back in January and so said, I don't know if you know what you're doing on the 22nd of November of this year, but I'd like to book some tickets for whatever it is. And the media and publicity officer contacted me and he said, well, we haven't got anything planned yet. Have you got anything in mind? So we talked about some things. And in the end, we came up with a tribute band. And it was an ABBA tribute band. And it was only then, when they had managed to find this tribute band, that I told them the story that on our wedding day, which was April the 6th, 1974, we'd arrived in our hotel in Luton, having driven all the way from Devon, which was quite a way in those days, I suppose it's quite a way now, got to our hotel room, which was just at the airport because we were flying out to Italy, and we turned the television on. Now, why we should turn the television on our honeymoon night, I have no idea. Our relationship is a bit bizarre, I have to tell you. And there were four very odd-looking people singing this song. And we listened to this song and thought, well, that ain't going to get anywhere. And we turned it off. It was the only little bit of the whole of the Eurovision Song Contest that we saw. And you all know who that was, don't you? It was ABBA singing Waterloo, who won? And we only discovered this when we got back from Italy. And so ABBA and us have always had a little bit of an affinity. And we've loved their music over the years. And we've got their LPs, CDs, been to Mamma Mia and all the rest of it. And so the Northcote Theatre and ABBA sort of bookended our courtship. And so what better to bring those two together for this occasion? And they got the BBC involved, and they came down, they filmed us, and we were on television back at the beginning of the last week. We ended up in the Daily Express as well. None of my doing, I have to say. And in the local rag. It's been great fun. I had all sorts of phone calls and texts during this week of people who have discovered that. Anniversaries. And church anniversaries too. Church anniversaries. Now, I understand, if I remember rightly, that this is because of, was it the foundation stones that were laid of this place over this sort of week, last weekend and this weekend, something like that? Or was it open for worship? People have church anniversaries at different times. Sometimes it's like the Queen's official birthday. It's just a useful date to have because somehow, for some reason, we want to celebrate this. It's like other religious festivals, which I suppose we could call anniversaries as well. Today we start Advent. It comes round annually, and it's followed by Christmas. And then we move on next year into Lent, and then Easter, and then Pentecost. You may be familiar with other festivals from other faiths, like Ramadan, or Eid, or Diwali. They all have them. The Jews too. They have their Yom Kippur, their Day of Atonement, celebrated annually, their Feast of Tabernacles. That was referred to by John in his Gospel, which is why perhaps we are more familiar with that than with perhaps some of the other Jewish festivals. And of course, Passover. Passover. In that Old Testament reading, we heard how the origins of the Passover came about by God telling the people to prepare the lamb, to slaughter it, and then put some of its blood on the doorposts so that when the angel of death comes, it passed over, hence the title of the festival, those houses and didn't visit death on God's people, but across the rest of the country. And so God lays out what they are to do for that moment so that they could be delivered from the slavery. But it was more than that, because God tells them it is to become an annual commemoration. This day you are to commemorate for the generations to come, God says, a lasting ordinance. Why is it? Why is it that God should lay down that we should commemorate these things on a regular, perhaps even an annual basis? Whether it's the Passover, which of course is the forerunner of our Holy Communion, which we commemorate a bit more than annually, of course. Or whether it's our birthdays or first dates or church anniversaries of today. Why? Why is it important? Well, it seems to me that we can at least think of three things. Three things why it may be important. First of all, it's an opportunity to celebrate. God says to Moses, "You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord." It was to be an opportunity for the Jews to look back and to give thanks for that moment, for that specific event, no matter how many years ago it may have been. And to give thanks that but for that moment, the whole of their history would have been very, very different. But in addition, it was an opportunity to celebrate where God had led them from that time forward. To reflect on their history, to acknowledge God's faithfulness over the years. And perhaps in particular, to focus on the past 12 months, to see what God had been doing and where God had taken them. Sometimes, when it had been a particularly difficult year, to perhaps to find something for which they could give thanks, even in their trials and tribulations. I suppose at the very least, God's consistency through it all. And for no better reason than giving thanks is an important scriptural principle. And at this church anniversary, we too can celebrate and give thanks. To give thanks for those who had the vision and the fortitude to create this place and to preserve a Christian fellowship. I was here, we were here from 1984 to 1989. In 1988, we celebrated the 250th anniversary, of the heartwarming experience of John Wesley. And I don't know if any of you can remember, but I was involved in having producing a loving cup. And it had two images, one on the front, one on the back, between the two handles of the loving cup. And Colin Hale, some of you will know Colin Hale from Upper Gornal, as he was in those days, he did the artwork for these two pictures. And one side was Charles Wesley and a line from one of his hymns. And on the other was a time when John Wesley came to Dudley and preached. And if I got my history right, there were folks from Gornal Wood who went to Dudley, listened to John Wesley, and became converted and brought the Methodist tradition back here to Gornal Wood. We here at Hemley Road can trace our heritage right back to John Wesley. And I believe it's important that we remember that, particularly at this time, when we find ourselves, dare I say, in a time of crisis in the Methodist Church, that we remember our heritage, we remember our roots, we remember our evangelical truth that John Wesley preached across this country and brought revival to this land and brought that evangelical faith here to Gornal Wood. And we can give thanks for those who were faithful in those days, because it must have been tough, because life was tough in the Gornals in those days, to be able to hold fast and to see others converted and for a fellowship to be born and for this place eventually to be built. To give thanks for those who down through the years have been faithful in maintaining this place of worship and of witness. To reflect and to remember and to give thanks to those we have known personally who are now in glory with God and with those others, but have played their part. Returning, I've been sort of thinking back to the folks that I knew in those days. Some, of course, are still with us, aren't you? But others, of course, haven't. You know, they're not. They've gone to glory. But we can give thanks that we have known them and loved them. For the heritage is ours because of what our forebears have been and done. But, you know, in addition to that, we can give thanks and celebrate for the part that this church has played in our own individual spiritual pilgrimage. For all the nurture and the teaching that you have received down through the years that you have been part and parcel of this fellowship, for its influence on your own spiritual development, for the support and the care that you have experienced. We've heard about it from Sharon, is that right? From Sharon. All the support that you know has been given and you will have received as well in your own times of trials and tribulations and sadness. For friends and for fellowship, for being able to come here and stand here and say, morning family. That was lovely. Because that's what it's about, isn't it? As I look back, arriving here as a probationer, still sort of green around the gills as far as the ordained ministry was concerned, you here were part of, you know, establishing that development of my own ministry that I was able to take on into the years that followed, and I trust I'm still faithful to today. And in addition to that, we can give thanks, can we not, for the part that we have played in the life of this church. Because we all put our sixpenneth worth in every now and then, don't we? We have our gifts and our talents that we are able to use. Whether it's in leading worship, and how lovely it is to have a worship group leading our worship this morning. Thank you for that and for all that you're going to do later. And for whatever, for those who have decorated the church as it has, you know, for those who have provided the flowers and have the gifts of being able to make displays that are for the glory of God, and all the other gifts and the talents that we are each able to put in. We can give thanks that we play our part in the life of this church. And finally, we can celebrate and give thanks for God the Father, who with the God the Son and God the Holy Spirit planned our redemption. And for that gift of salvation that I spoke about earlier, given to us through Jesus Christ, his human life, his death on the cross, and his resurrection. And for the Spirit whose infusion into the church has brought it into existence and maintains it day by day. We can celebrate and give thanks like the people of old, for God and his faithfulness and his love. We can rejoice in his constant presence with us and celebrate all that he does for us day by day. So God instructs Moses to create a lasting ordinance. Firstly, to provide the opportunity to celebrate the past. Secondly, it provides the opportunity to consider the present moment. The Passover was never just about remembering a past event. It was always to have an impact on the here and the now, to make a difference in the way life was lived in the present moment. And as it was with the Passover, so it is with our Holy Communion service, which is, you know, is what has come out of that Passover meal. I remember fresh in my mind when I came here to the Gornals, a college lecturer used to say, past event, present consequences. Past event, present consequences. That's what it's all about. And in the light of our remembrance and celebration of the past, of those things that perhaps were going through your mind just now as we were recalling folks from old and our history and our heritage, all those things that were being stirred up in you, in the light of all that, how are you going to respond now in this present moment? We spend an awful lot of time reminiscing about the past. I guess it's true the older we get. And not a little time thinking about the future and what will be. But the truth is that the only moment we really have any control over is the present moment. So rather than allowing that moment to just aimlessly drift by, creating an opportunity for response is vital. And occasions such as this make them so important. At this point, I have to offer a confession to you. I still take the Methodist recorder. It's about the only way of being able to keep in touch with what is, in fact, going on across our connection. Sometimes I read it and I have nightmares. Sometimes I find the odd article interesting. And sometimes I can be quite enthused by it, I have to admit. But the other week I came across an article by the Reverend Leslie Griffiths, past president of our Methodist conference. He was having one of his rants, as he does from time to time. And this time it was about some of the wording of our hymns that has been changed for our new hymn book that we have, Singing the Faith. And in so doing has changed the theology and the meaning of that hymn. And one of the examples that he gave us is All Through a Faith, Eternal Word by Charles Wesley, which the third verse went like this. By faith we know thee strong to save, save us, a present Saviour thou. Whate'er we hope, by faith we have, future and past subsisting now. And in the article, Leslie was reminding us that the German philosopher Leibniz wrote of the present moment as suffused with the past and pregnant with the future, which it surely is. And that Paul Tillich wrote about the eternal now, which, if you think about it, is a pretty good description, because the present moment is now. Is now, is now, is, you got the idea, haven't you? You've got the idea. He goes on to say that the present moment is undergirded by the past and is charged on fire with the future. And our hope, which is the future, can be sustained by faith, which is of the present through Christ. I think I would say it can only be sustained by faith in Christ in the present moment. So what we are about in this present moment is so important. For once it's gone forever, and we can never, ever get it back again. So considering the present moment and making the appropriate response is vital. And I believe that's why God instructs his people to provide an opportunity, such as a church anniversary, for example, to be able to do just that. I was leading an approaching Advent event that we had organized for our circuit on Friday, and I was looking at waiting, because Advent in many ways is about waiting, and we looked at waiting for God, waiting on God, and waiting with God. As you can see, I like my three things. In that waiting on God, I talked about the... During last weekend, we went to a restaurant, had a meal where we had gone for our engagement. So it was very much a reminiscing of the past last weekend. And we had trouble getting the attentions of the waiters at one particular point. You know, I almost stood up, danced on the table, because they weren't doing their job properly. They weren't being attentive to us, and they weren't responding to our beck and call at that moment. And in the present, we are to wait on God, to be attentive to his calling and to respond immediately. And that's something we should be doing moment by moment, every single day. Our prayer should be, God, what do you want of me today? I'm waiting on you, God, for your call, for your instruction, whatever it is, so that I can be in service for you today. This present moment, so important. Important, being ready to respond to God. And then thirdly, in the light of celebrating the past and considering that present moment, such occasions as this provide the opportunity of commitment for the future. Commitment to the future. The Passover in every house each year across the world concludes with the words, next year in Jerusalem. It's a looking forward with hope and a commitment to a way of life that may lead to that fulfillment. When we break bread and share wine, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes, leading to a commitment to live lives that prepare us and make us ready for that day. Jesus says, it will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the middle of the night. We don't know what the future holds. That's the truth of the matter. But we know someone who does. As the song puts it, I know who holds the future. I know who holds my hand. With God, things don't just happen. Everything by him is planned. So as I face tomorrow with its problems, large and small, I'll trust the God of miracles. Give to him my all. Just as we can celebrate God's love and faithfulness as we look back over the days and the years, so we can trust him for the days that are to come. For he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. As we consider our response, each present moment, and offer that present moment to God that he might use it for his glory and in the extension of his kingdom, so our future is assured. So on this church anniversary day, let us stand with Paul, acknowledging that Christ is all in all, that everything is a loss compared to knowing him, knowing that greatness of Jesus as our Lord and Savior, wanting to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, pressing on to take hold of that for which Christ has taken hold of us. Straining towards what is ahead, pressing on towards that goal, which is the prize for which God has called us heavenward in Christ Jesus. Let us pray. In the quietness let us give thanks for our heritage, for all that has been, and let us commit ourselves to God for all that will be. But now, in this present moment, I invite you once again to say, yes, God. I am yours, here and now. I'm open to you, to speak to me, to call you, I am waiting on you now. Help me moment by moment and day by day to respond positively to you, that your glory may shine through my life in all that I am and do and say. Come now, Lord Jesus. Fill me afresh with your Holy Spirit. That I might serve you in this present moment.